Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen.
Hey, welcome on in. I am so excited you're here with me today. It is an absolutely rainy, gloomy, yucky day here in Sydney. It's been the rainiest summer and I'm just glad to be podcasting because podcasting makes me happy. It makes me excited. I like to have a chat here and there. So here we are podcasting once again, and we're talking about a topic that I find really, really, really fascinating. We're talking about insecure overachieving. Now, if that's you and that's ringing alarm bells in your head, listen on because I've got so many interesting things to share with you today. But the thing that I think is really interesting about this concept is I do actually have clients who come and work with me in the first instance and they describe themselves as insecure overachievers or something along those lines. They'll say, look, I know that that's the way I am. I know that I'm insecure. I know that I'm somebody who works really, really hard. And I know that that is something that I need to work on, which I find really fascinating that people label themselves in these ways. And of course, it's because these labels exist in the world, which is why we decide that we want to cling on to something to describe and to explain how we find ourselves. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this partly is because I know it will be of interest to a lot of the ladies listening out there, because I know that it comes up quite often in my own client sessions. So I'm sure it's going to resonate with at least some of you listening in today. But it's actually been prompted because I was reading an article written recently by a lady called Laura Empsom, and she's written for the Harvard Business Review, and she's entitled her piece, "If You're So Successful, Why Are You Still Working 70 Hours a Week?" And it was a headline that absolutely got my attention. I was like, aha, I can absolutely hone in on this, because it's an article targeting people who work extremely hard but still feel insecure in their success or how valued they really are. And Empsom actually interviewed over 500 people for this article. I mean, she's also written books, so you can absolutely check her out. The book that she's written is called Leading Professionals, Power, Politics, and Prima Donnas. So you can also check her out if you want to read more of her work. But you may have heard that label before, that concept of being an insecure overachiever. It's essentially somebody who works long hours. They accept that ever-increasing workload. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And they don't rest. And they've kind of normalized that behavior. So they've sort of said to themselves, this is the way it is. They've sort of tricked themselves into believing that the behavior is actually good for them. And it might be the case, of course, that this kind of behavior is regarded as normal throughout their organizations too. It might have been normalized within the culture of your organization so that you see everyone around you is an insecure overachiever. And it can be even the C-level execs, right, who are behaving in this way. It can be normalized. It can be just seen as the way it is. This is how we do business here. If you want to be part of this culture, this is how you need to behave. And Empsom argues that at the heart of this desire to constantly and consistently overachieve is insecurity, which almost sounds odd. It almost sounds like those things don't go together. I mean, you know, these people are prolific high achievers. They're fiercely self-motivated. I think that's another way of describing them. And they get results time and time again. And even when it seems impossible, they pull remarkable results out of the bag, right? So how can such high achievers also be insecure? What's that insecurity about? What's the fear rooted in? That's what I really want us to explore today. I'm going to kind of go really deep and on a bit of a journey with you today as we explore these two concepts of overachieving and insecurity working together, because I think it's super interesting. And I think like anything with this concept, I think insecure overachieving can come up in lots of different shapes and forms. Over the years that I've been coaching, I've certainly seen it come up in different ways, right? And it can come in one or some or all of these areas that I'm going to just talk about now. So I think the first one that I think is quite common is that need to remain relevant, that need to be relevant within the organization. So constantly pushing yourself, constantly trying to learn new things, constantly trying to maybe even get new degrees, whatever it might be, but it's about being relevant. So that need to be relevant. I think a second thing is closely related, which is a kind of a deep need to feel competitive, to be competitive. You know, essentially your colleagues are now your greatest competition after all, right? So we have that need to kind of push ourselves to be better than the person next to us almost, rather than it being a cohesive, collaborative concept. It's much more, we're in a competition with one another. I think the third one that I think is quite a common one is that need to be adding enough value or ample value or even over-delivering on the value that you're adding. So it's about making an impact. It's about adding value. It's about being useful. I think Empsom talks about in her article, I think she talks about that concept of justifying your fees, even if you're in a fee-based organization. And wanting to prove to your clients, if you like, that you are able to deliver, that you're over-delivering, that you're the best kind of person that they could have on their team. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of self-pressure in this space of over-achievement, in this space of insecure over-achievement. Clearly, there's a lot of pressure you're putting on yourself to be relevant, like I say, to be adding the value, to be competitive. There's constantly that desire, that churn, that need to be acting, to be taking action, to be seen to be taking action. And the reality is, the thing that I've observed, because I'm definitely a bit of an achiever too, the thing that I have absolutely observed is all of that pressure, it all comes from you. It doesn't actually come from the external world around you, even though you think it is, even though you think that the culture around you is telling you you need to do this. It's actually not. That's actually a bit of a trick that goes on, I think. And I've seen this in the work that I do with ladies as well in my business, right? You know, the women who I work with, they're intelligent, you know, they've got impressive tertiary education, they've got professional qualifications coming out of their ears, and then they tell me that they want to do another degree. So they've already got degrees, you know. And of course, sometimes that is going to add value to you. It is going to add value to your career arsenal, if you like. It is going to potentially add value to your employer. Maybe it will make you more employable, but you know, the reality is maybe it won't. And I think for some people, that need to learn more is based on that insecurity that they don't know enough. But the unfortunate thing is that fear will probably not be appeased by just learning more stuff. You see what I mean? You get another degree, you know, you go and do an MBA or something, and still you've got that insecurity that you don't have enough, you don't know enough, you're not adding enough value. So the actual, you know, learning of the degree might be useful for your security for months or maybe years, but then that might just creep back on in and you're sort of saying to yourself, actually, I don't feel secure again. I actually need to go and learn something else, which is interesting, right? Because it's a never-ending sort of hamster wheel of not feeling good enough, or that people will find you out, that you're not as smart as they think you are. You know, that concept of imposter, that they'll see through me, they'll realize I'm not really as good as they think I am. They'll realize soon enough they promoted me too early. They're the kinds of belief patterns that come up when people talk about this concept of imposter, not being good enough. And that, you know, essentially people have put too much on you, that you're going to let them down at some point. And I don't think that goes away so much just by learning more, because it's not fixing the actual problem, which is at the root, which is that insecurity of not feeling enough. It does go away, however. You know, I'm a coach and we work very much on understanding strengths and where you're strong and where you are adding value. It goes away when you do start to recognize and acknowledge that you are already enough. And that's a bit of a process that you can go through. But, you know, that is a real an eye-opening process. And I see it too in this space when I have ladies in my practice who are readily undermining the value that they're adding. And the reality is I only coach women. And so I can only talk from the experience of coaching women. Of course, this isn't unique to women. Of course, it's not. Men and women both make the same mistake of assuming that they aren't adding enough value. But I think in my experience, you know, because I only work with women, I can only talk about what women are experiencing. And I think a lot of it comes down from a comparison. So it's that assumption that the people around you must be smarter than you, or they are adding value that decision makers are seeing as valuable. It's that insecurity again, right? It pops up again. In both those situations, you can see that people are feeling like they're not enough. They're undermining the value that they're adding. And they're worrying about being found out eventually for not actually being as good as everybody seems to think they are. They're struggling with that insecurity. And so to compensate for the feelings of inadequacy, I think what happens is they just end up working harder and harder. And I think that's the thing I really want to stress. It's that feeling of inadequacy. Even though you are highly skilled, highly intelligent, highly competent, even though you are adding tremendous value to the organization, there's that feeling of inadequacy, that feeling of not being good enough, that feeling of not being up to it. And I think that what happens is then you get into that trap, if you like, of working really, really hard and expecting that working really, really hard is going to deliver you that recognition, that reward, that acknowledgement that you are actually a super duper human being who's adding tremendous value every day. One thing that I thought was really interesting actually about Laura Epsom's article in the Harvard Business Review is she sort of makes the point that there are organizations out there that are actively seeking out insecure overachievers. And I've actually heard that directive before. It's not something that would ever be discussed publicly, but it's interesting that, you know, it seems immoral, right? To sort of say, oh, that's what we like to do. We like people to run themselves into the ground. That's what we actually like in our organization. They're not going to admit that publicly. But the reason is that insecure overachievers, particularly in operational roles, are really like a machine. They're machines. They get the work done and some, right? They work really, really hard, really long hours. They're extremely self-motivated to make that stuff happen. And because they're insecure, they work even harder to deliver, to, you know, create even more outcomes for the organization, for the team that they're working in. And that constant need to achieve, that constant need to be recognized, drives them to work even harder. And they don't worry about their health. They don't worry about the impact that that is having on their mindset, on their well-being. They're not concerned about that seismic damage that it's doing to them because the drive of achievement is so strong. So is that resonating with you? Because I'd love to know, actually, you know, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love you to connect with us and tell us what you think about that as a concept. Because I think that is mind-blowing for some people. You know, when you realize that that's the pattern you're in, because that's what it is, it's a pattern, right? When you realize a pattern that you're in is happening, you then suddenly have the ability to hit a choice point to decide whether or not you want to continue on that pattern or not. Laura Epsom actually defines insecure overachievers in this article as exceptionally capable, fiercely ambitious, yet driven by a profound sense of their own inadequacy. This typically stems from childhood and may result from various factors such as experience or financial or physical deprivation, or a belief that their parents' love was contingent upon their behaving and performing well. Now, I think the biggest problem is seeing the behavior as normal, seeing that this is just the way it is for me. And I think especially if you're working in a kind of company where everyone is behaving in the same sort of way, it's sort of part of the culture, you know, it's praised, it's expected even. But of course, that's a perpetual cycle. That's a perpetual high performance, you know, burnout cycle that you kind of get stuck in. And you're assuming all the time that the people around you are, like I said before, they're delivering, so you need to deliver. And if they're over-delivering, then you really need to over-deliver to stay competitive, to stay relevant, like I was talking about earlier. It's really, really unhealthy. It's really toxic. It's essentially you're kind of killing yourself to get commended. That's essentially what's happening. And that's rewarded and expected, like I said, that kind of behavior. And I think the thing is that I've seen also in working with clients who are in this sort of territory is I think if you work like this throughout your life, you know, through childhood, for example, say, for example, you did have a situation where you were praised for working really, really hard at school and getting those A star grades. Say, for example, you know, you've worked really, really hard. Maybe you've got lots of success by doing this. Then I think the thing that's really interesting, the thing that I've observed, is that you assume this is the only way you can do success. It's the only way you can get success by working this way, by working this system, this pattern. And it's like, almost like you've conned yourself into believing that there's no other way that you can get results. Success relies on you behaving in this burnout pattern of behavior, working long hours, not taking breaks, having no boundaries, accepting yet more work, because doing that makes you feel safe. It's what makes you feel safe. That's the reality. It's because this is a pattern you know. It's well known to you. There's no surprises. Yes, it's hard work, but hard work gets me results. So you get into that kind of pattern of believing this is the only opportunity for you. And of course, that's exacerbated. If you're working in an environment, a cultural environment where this is what everyone else does too. It creates that sense of belonging. You know, we're all in this together. And you're getting that sort of sense of belonging. It's a very important value, belonging, to feel like you're belonging to something. And people can feel like that matters more than the detrimental impact on your health, because you're craving that belonging, that sense of connection to other people. It's not just me who behaves this way. It's everyone I work with, you know, as well. We're all in this together. We're all in this process together. And it actually feels good, because I'm actually feeling like that belonging value is being recognized. So that was a bit of a long exploration of what insecure overachievement means. But like, I want to give you some ideas as to how you can actually challenge it and think about it, because the first step is always awareness. So that's the piece that we've already gone through together, where we're talking about what are the symptoms of this? What are the behaviors? How can I recognize this kind of behavior in me? Is it helping me? Does it serve me? You know, these are the kinds of questions that we ask in coaching discussions. But I want you to start thinking about what you can do about it, because essentially I'm a coaching business. And in our coaching business, we're all about finding solutions. We're not interested in staying in problem. I don't want anyone to stay in problem mode. We want to get out of that. We want to break cycles and patterns that are not serving us. We want to become ridiculously aware of ourselves so that we can make better choices and make better decisions, not just in our careers, but also in life too, because these things are obviously interconnected. So to do that, what I thought would be useful is to spend a little bit of time just talking about what insecurity means, what insecurity is all about. And it's funny, because it's a sort of loaded word, isn't it? Insecurity, to be insecure. It's got lots of negative connotations that people place on it, but it doesn't need to. And that's what I think is important about this exploration that we're going to go through, because the reality is, the truth is all insecurity is uncertainty. It's not having certainty. So when we're feeling insecure, we're uncertain. That's all it is. And if you use the word uncertain, wouldn't that be an easier way of describing it? You'd feel less concerned about taking ownership of that label, that word insecure. It's a lack of confidence in yourself, essentially. When we feel insecure, we don't feel confident, we feel uncertain. And yes, you might worry that that's somehow really deeply rooted, because you've had this childhood experience where your parents were very, you know, achievement driven, and, you know, your love or whatever, your attention was not given to you unless you achieved at school, for example, in extreme sense. And you might feel like that's too hard to break, but it's not, because all that's happened over time is that you have attributed meaning to concepts that you can change. It's just a word. It's just a label, if you like, that you have attributed to this concept of what success is all about. So we have to look at those definitions. But I think the thing that's also interesting is it's just created a set of belief patterns in you about what success looks like, about what love looks like, about what achievement looks like, and how you can do these things. And the question is, as an adult, you can sort of challenge the beliefs that you have, of course, that you hold about yourself as an adult. So you can ask yourself, how am I labeling myself? What labels do I attribute to myself? What are the beliefs that you hold about yourself? You know, I believe this about me. I believe that about me. And the other thing that I can ask you today that you can do a little bit of self-coaching on is, you can ask yourself this: how are those beliefs that you hold about yourself, how are they protecting you? because they often do. Beliefs often protect us from harm. So they keep us small. They keep us sort of stuck in the space that we're in because that's safer. But ask yourself, how are those beliefs actually protecting you from seeing another way potentially of doing success? Like I say, one of the aspects of my work is to help people really become consciously aware of the patterns that they're running, because everybody has their patterns. We all have our stories, right? But to actually get new results, you have to change patterns that aren't serving you. If you have some belief and behavioral patterns, so, you know, I believe that to get success, I have to work hard. So, of course, the behavior becomes, I then work extraordinarily hard. I look at my peers also working hard. I assume that they are doing better than me and adding more value. So, therefore, I will work harder. These are the kinds of perpetual cycles we get into. And I really want to help you sort of flip those patterns of self-doubt, patterns of uncertainty, patterns of, you know, where you question your value, and just really help you uncover the phenomenal value you're adding, like phenomenal value that you're just not acknowledging. It's like you're digging for the diamonds. They're down there, right? They're deep down there somewhere. They're 100% there. We just need to dig a little deeper for you to find them. And one of the processes actually that we talk about in one of our coaching programs, the Career Accelerator Game Plan, we take you through our signature STEEP model, STEEP. And our STEEP model is all about helping you really, really mine for those diamonds, the gems beneath the surface, to help you really see your value, to help you really identify and talk about and verbalize and quantify the value that you're adding. Because I find women are lacking in the skills often to talk about themselves in a positive way, in a really strong way. We're very comfortable talking about our weaknesses, and men are too, of course, but like I say, I work with women, and we are, you know, it's too easy to flip into the self-doubt space where you are just talking about yourself in a negative way. And, you know, I can't do this and I'm not good enough and I'll never be good enough. But that's not going to serve you long term. It's another pattern. So in the Career Accelerator Game Plan, one of the things that we do is we really help you understand your value, the commercial value you're adding, the intellectual value you're adding, the impact that you're making every day. For example, these are just three measures. But the thing that's so fascinating, I find that when women do this process, go through this process, not only do they absolutely balloon in confidence, like balloon in confidence, because they've often never even done exercises like this before. And it's a really kind of thorough exercise that we do. When you start understanding the value that you add, you start thinking, well, what else am I capable of here? What else can I ask for? And with that understanding where you can talk tangibly and confidently about how you're making an impact, it makes things like your performance reviews and pay reviews and all those kinds of conversations that you have around career progression and moving up in your career, whether that's up or sideways or whatever, so much easier. Because you are confident in advocating for yourself. You're confident about positioning yourself who has phenomenal value to add. And that's exactly what I want for you. So hopefully that has been hugely interesting. I find this topic hugely interesting, as you've probably noticed. But I'd love to speak with you. You know, if you're in a space right now where you really want to move your career forwards, if you really want to progress, but you know you're holding yourself back, I absolutely would love to help you get a rein on that, help you understand what you want from your career, and start strategizing about what these next steps should be, and giving you that confidence to really build that sense of value and self-belief and confidence in the value that you're adding every day. I would love, love, love to speak to you. And there is a link to a free 50-minute career strategy session with me. If you would like to get one of those, we have a few of those available every week. And if you want to get your hands on one of those, then I'll give you the link in the show notes. Click on that, get in there, book your session. And within, you know, a couple of days, we could be talking about you, your career, what you want, what's blocking you. Let's get over those challenges and let's get you moving on the trajectory that you absolutely want to be on and you absolutely deserve. I also have a link to one of my most popular downloads in the show notes, which you can get by going to rebeccasfreegift.com. is the 7 habits of female execs who get promoted. A lot of what I'm talking about in today's episode actually is in there, these concepts of personal branding and raising the bar and sort of building credibility with the people around you. So if you want access to that amazing free resource, just go to rebeccasfreegift.com and you'll get your access straight into your inbox. And I just hope that you'll start taking action off the back of that amazing resource. So ladies, that has been a lot. We have covered a lot today. It's been a really interesting exploration and I so look forward to hearing from you. You can email me anytime. You can email me at rallen@illuminategrowth.com.au. If you have thoughts, if you have views on the content from today, I would love to hear from you. And, you know, let's talk about it. And I can talk about it in next week's podcast when we talk again. And we can sort of solve our challenges together and I can do it for you live on the show. So thanks so much for joining me and I will see you next week.